Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 12. As you're looking up the place, could I thank all of those who came to the bungalow yesterday to help to clear out the bungalow and get it ready for the workmen. Certainly very, very much appreciate it. Now, there probably will be another day's work needed to be done. I'm sure Brother Jeff will let us know when exactly that's going to take place. But certainly I would like to thank all of those who came. Very, very much appreciated, and it was encouraging to see those who did come to help. Acts chapter 12, and with God's word open before us, let's bow in a wee word of prayer, ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth today. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the Bible open before us. We know, Lord, that it is the inspired, infallible, incorruptible word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy word in our own mother tongue, that we can open the scriptures and read thy word for ourselves. What a blessing. What a privilege. We thank thee, Lord, for these studies in the book of Acts. And, O God, we thank thee for what you have taught us. We praise thee, O Lord, for your word to our hearts. And, O God, we pray that in these days in which we live, that you would come by mighty power again, open up the windows of heaven and pour us out such a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. Lord, we pray that you'll bless your own people today. We thank thee for the saints of God. And, O God, we pray today that you would encourage your people. And, Lord, that you would strengthen us in these days to serve thee. Oh God, how we need revival, how we need a spiritual awakening, how we need thee, Lord, to come again into your church. And oh God, we pray that you'll come by your mighty power. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. Bless us now, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. For a few moments at the end of our meeting, I want to preach on the subject, the persecution of the church. And we're coming now to Acts chapter 12. Take a look what it says in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. In Acts 12, we see the attack of the devil upon the church of Christ. Satan, of course, is the arch enemy of the people of God. And where he can, the devil will always seek to make havoc of the body of Christ. And in this chapter, Satan uses a wicked man by the name of Herod to persecute the church, with the result that the apostle James is killed by Herod, and then Peter is taken and imprisoned. Now, while there are many different characters mentioned in Acts chapter 12, Peter and Herod are the two prominent figures in the chapter. Peter is, of course, the servant of Christ. Herod is the servant of the devil. And there's no doubt that Satan, through Herod, brings great persecution to God's people. There's no doubt that the killing of James and the imprisonment of Peter was a great blow to the church at Jerusalem. Persecution had come to the church again. But as we're going to find out today, the Lord was going to use this persecution to strengthen the church. And we have seen that already in the course of these studies in the book of Acts. What the devil meant for evil, the Lord meant for good. And although Satan tries everything in his power to destroy the work of God in the book of Acts, the Lord always turns the situation round and strengthens his people. And we'll be saying more about that just in a moment. Therefore, as we come to look at these opening verses in Acts chapter 12, I want simply for us to consider a number of general lessons which we as God's people should always remember about persecution. About persecution. Child of God, in this world, we shall have tribulation. The first thing I want you to notice is this, that persecution is not to be unexpected in the Christian life. We read here at the beginning of this chapter that Herod, the wicked and ungodly man that he was, persecuted the people of God. Look what it says again here in chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." There's no doubt that Herod was a wicked and ungodly man who hated the church of Christ. And when he saw that killing James pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter in order, I believe, to kill him as well. You see, Satan's attack on the church at this time was against the leaders of the church. And of course, Herod was motivated by the devil. There's no doubt that the whole body of Christ suffered in this persecution. Now, as I have pointed out in these studies already, we have noticed that the church has been persecuted on many occasions. And even as we continue these studies, we're going to see time and time again throughout the book of Acts the attack of hell upon the church of Christ. Child of God, persecution is not to be unexpected in the Christian life. Indeed, we are to expect persecution. Child of God, you and I will suffer for the cause of Christ in some way. The devil will see to it, and we must be prepared for it. Let me just read you a number of verses very quickly. And these verses that I'm going to read simply point out this truth, that God's people throughout their lives, throughout their Christian lives, will experience times of tribulation and persecution. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18 says, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And if children, speaking to God's people, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There is no doubt that when we get to heaven, all the sufferings of this world will fall into insignificance. But the point, and this is a simple point that I want to make, is this, that God's people will suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 verse 29 says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." 1 Timothy 4 verse 10 says, "For therefore we are bound, we are both laborers and for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God." There is, Paul writes to young Timothy, he emphasizes to Timothy that because he trusts in the living God, he will suffer reproach. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, Paul goes on to tell Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And then in 1 Peter 3 verse 14 it says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." You see, time and time again, throughout the Bible, the Word of God, God's people are told to expect persecution. They are told to expect times of trial and tribulation. Now, just turn over, I want you to turn over to this portion, 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's read down from verse 12. Again, we have Peter here, and he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to God's people, and he comes to write on this subject of trials in the Christian life. Look what it says there in verse 12 of 1 Peter 4. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Child of God, when trials and troubles and persecution comes our way for the sake of the gospel, we should expect it. It should not be a strange thing to us. And that's what Peter here is telling the saints. Look at verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Here we have again the Word of God. And the Bible here simply clearly teaches us that throughout our Christian lives, we're going to pass through trials. There's going to be those who will persecute us for the gospel's sake. And that's what's happening here to the church in Acts chapter 12, the beginning of this chapter. It's a chapter, of course, that we all know so well, and we have read it, I'm sure, child of God, many times. But it's important as we look at this text of Scripture that we note this again. Maybe there's someone here today and you're passing through a time of trial. Maybe even someone at work or a school or university is persecuting you because you're a Christian, making fun of you because you're a child of God. Well, you know, really, someone poking fun at us because we're a Christian is not that hard to take when you consider there are other countries in this world where men and women are dying for their faith, when God's people are imprisoned for their faith, when men and women who are saved are being slaughtered and put to death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. But you can see here, I believe, what is being brought out here, and it's teaching us persecution is not to be unexpected in the Christian life. Therefore, we should not expect to get through life without some trial and without some persecution. But notice verse 1 again of Acts chapter 2. And you'll see secondly that persecution often follows blessing. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, now about that time. I want you to underline that. It is important that we compare these words in verse 1 with chapters 10 and 11. And over these past number of weeks now, we have been studying chapters 10 and 11. And we have been finding out in chapters 10 and 11 how the Lord was blessing the church, how he brought the Gentiles into the church, how Cornelius and all who were in his house were gloriously saved. And the church was growing. And now about that time, in other words, about the same time when God was blessing the church and adding to its number, the devil persecuted the church. It is evident that God had blessed the church in Acts 10 and 11. With the bringing in of the Gentiles, many souls had been converted to Christ. The work of God was going forward in a great way, and many new churches were being established. And although the devil tried, he failed to weaken the church from within. But here we have, in Acts chapter 12, Satan's attack from without. And that as soon as God had begun to bless his work in a very, very unique and special way. The devil doesn't want the work of God to go forward. The devil always wants to hinder the work of God. He wants to stop the progress of God's work going forward. And here in these chapters preceding chapter 12, we can see great blessing in the church. The Gentiles are brought in. And the church at Jerusalem has accepted that God has now visited the Gentiles. There's unity among God's people, and there's great blessing. And just at that point, the devil steps in to seek to weaken and destroy the work of God. Child of God, the devil often attacks the church after great blessing. And we must never forget this. Just turn back and you'll see this. We've already considered Acts chapter 4, but turn back to Acts chapter 4 and you'll see this again. And of course, this attack of Satan came after the day of Pentecost. And we've already noticed the day of Pentecost and how the Lord blessed and 3,000 souls were saved. But look what happens. After blessing, Satan tries to again weaken the body of Christ. Look at verse 1 of Acts 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, that was in the apostles, Peter and John, and put them in hold until the next day. For it was now eventide, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Praise God, although the devil again tried to attack the body of Christ by having some of the apostles arrested and put into prison, again the Lord blessed, and we thank God for that. And we're going to see just in a moment how the Lord greatly blessed in Acts chapter 12. But you can see here again, this is another example that there's persecution in the midst of blessing, that the devil will always seek to step in to destroy the blessing. Oh, child of God, surely that's a warning for each and every one of us in the work of God. We have enjoyed the blessing of God in Bethel down through the years, and we praise the Lord for it. We praise the Lord for the unity that is in the work. We praise the Lord for what He has done and what He is doing and what He's going to do, I believe, in the days that lie ahead. But always remember that in the midst of blessing, the devil will seek to come and seek to destroy that blessing, seek to weaken the body of Christ. Let me give you another example. Turn back to the Old Testament this time, to Exodus chapter 16. And this attack of the devil didn't come from without the church. It came from within the church. And of course, you'll know that prior to Exodus chapter 16, the children of Israel were gloriously and wonderfully delivered from Egyptian bondage. But after God's power was revealed in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt by His mighty hand, we see the attack of the devil upon the work of God. Look at verse 1 of Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. My, what a turnaround. What a turnaround. Did God not bring them out of Egypt? Had God not promised to be with them? Had the Lord not assured them that He would supply their every need? Of course He had. But here, the children of Israel now are murmuring, believing that they're going to be killed, going to die in the wilderness, and they start to murmur. Oh, the attack came from within. And you know, child of God, it's so important that you and I stay close to the Lord. Oh, the Lord is so good to us, and He has blessed us in so many ways. Let us continue to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When God is blessing His church, the devil will seek to attack the church. And that is why when the Lord is blessing His church, that you and I must be most vigilant. Must be most vigilant. And I pray in these days that the Lord will keep us looking unto Him and trusting in Him. Oh, you can see here. You can see here in Acts chapter 12. That the devil comes to attack the church, and he uses Herod, and this blessing comes, or this persecution comes, at a time when God was blessing His church. Now take a look at something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice thirdly that persecution often comes from the same quarter. Now, there are three men who bear the name Herod to this point in Bible history. And another who we'll meet later on in these studies. In Matthew chapter 2, for example, Herod the Great, and we all know about him. He killed all the babies, 2 years old and under. Then in Matthew chapter 14, we read about Herod Antipas. He was the brother of Herod the Great, and the man, of course, who killed John the Baptist. And then, of course, there's Herod Agrippa the First, the man that's mentioned here in Acts chapter 12, the grandson of Herod the Great. This was the man who killed James, as we have already pointed out, and imprisoned Peter. His son also was called Agrippa, and we read of him in Acts chapter 26. But the lesson here is simple. The sin of persecuting God's people often runs within the same family from generation to generation. It is often from the same source that the church faces trouble. And you know, we only have to consider what is said about Amalek in the Old Testament. You needn't turn to it, but in Exodus chapter 17, verse 16, we read this about Amalek. And Amalek was the enemy of the children of Israel. And he's a type of the devil. But this is what we read about Amalek. It says, "For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Generation to generation. You know, Satan is the arch enemy of the child of God and the church of Christ. We've already pointed that out, and you know that. But the truth is this: Satan has always and will always attack the church of Christ from generation to generation. The devil will attack the work of God. Some people don't believe that there is a devil. Some people don't believe that Satan is real. But of course, child of God, you and I know to the difference. Not only do we know it because the Bible clearly teaches that the devil is real, but we know it in our own personal lives, day by day, because we have felt his attack, we have known his attack. And child of God, our enemy has not changed. Satan has not changed. Satan will always be against the work of God, and he will always seek to destroy and pull down the work of God. Now, he will not succeed. He will not succeed. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But nevertheless, Peter, in his epistle again, when he was writing to God's people, he said in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, he said to the people of God, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Oh, the devil's real. There's no doubt about that. And he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary. And that's why, child of God, you and I need to put on the whole armor of God. And that is why we need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful day by day in our Christian lives. It's so often to let down our guard. So often we do. We let down our guard. We think all is well. But the very moment we do that, then the devil attacks. The devil is always watching. He's always waiting for an opportunity, to weaken the body of Christ. And in Acts chapter 12, we have the devil coming again, and he's seeking to weaken God's church. He sees the blessing. He sees the way the Lord is using the apostles and the disciples. And he steps into this situation. The devil comes, and the devil will come, and the devil will seek to destroy the witness of Christ, and is seeking to destroy the witness of Christ. And he will never give up, and he will never let in until he's finally taken. And praise God, the book of Revelation tells us clearly that the day is coming when the devil will be taken, cast into the lake of fire. And what a day that's going to be when the devil is finally destroyed for all eternity. Notice something else, but take a look again at Acts chapter 12. Now, we didn't read all the verses at the beginning of this chapter, but I'm sure that you're familiar with them, and you will know how the Lord stepped into the situation and delivered Peter out of the prison. But notice, fourthly, persecution is a part of God's sovereign plan to strengthen his church. In the midst of this persecution in Acts 12, the church saw the power of God in a mighty way, and although James was killed, Peter was delivered. Peter was delivered. Now, I said at the beginning, I believe that Herod's intention was to kill Peter. I believe that. He took Peter, and I believe he was going to kill him just like he killed James. But the Lord stepped into the situation and delivered Peter. Look at verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." But he, beckoning with them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how, verse 17, look at verse 17, "But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went unto another place." Oh, you can see there the mercy of the Lord and the grace of God. And you know, because of these events, the saints at Jerusalem were strengthened in their faith. We know that a prayer meeting took place. We're going to say more about the prayer meeting next week. But we know that the church met for prayer. And as the church prayed, the Lord in mercy delivered Peter. And because Peter was delivered, and they saw this great answer to prayer, their faith was strengthened. God's people received a great answer to prayer. This would have encouraged them and strengthened them in a mighty way. But you know, this great answer to prayer would never have happened if God in his sovereign plan had not permitted this persecution to take place. And that's the point I want to make. God permits trials to come into our lives. We don't want them. They're the last thing that we want to see coming our way. But God permits them in his sovereign plan. And he permits them not only to test our faith, but to strengthen our faith. Child of God, our faith cannot be strengthened until it's tested. Until it's tested. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, a text of scripture we all know so well. And child of God, you ought to underline it in your Bible and never forget it. You know, even these familiar texts in the Bible, we forget. When the trial comes, we forget about this text of scripture. But listen to what it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, what we have here is this great truth set forth, not only that our faith will be tested and tried and strengthened, but that our faith, the Lord will bring us through times of difficulty in order that we might look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Maybe there's someone here today, I don't know, but maybe there is, and you're going through a trial. You're going through a time of persecution. The devil is attacking you on every side, and you're down, you're low spiritually. Well, my exhortation to you today is to look up, is to remember the God of heaven. Remember the Savior who has redeemed you. And remember this, that he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And even in the midst of the trial that you're passing through, the Lord will give you strength. The Lord will give you help. and the Lord will bring you through that trial that you're passing through. Oh, praise God, the Lord has promised to give help in our time of need. And you can see here in Acts chapter 12 how the Lord undertook and how the Lord even used these circumstances of James being killed and Peter being brought into the prison to be killed himself, how the Lord used these circumstances to bring blessing to the church, to bring strength to his people. And you'll notice that as soon as this persecution came, as soon as this trial came, the people of God began to pray. The people of God realized that they needed to seek the Lord and to call upon him. And you know, child of God, that's what you and I should do when persecution and trial comes our way. First thing we should do, we should pray. Seek the Lord and call upon him and wait upon him. That's what the church did here. I'm going to see that in the weeks that lie ahead. And you'll notice what Peter did when he was arrested. He fell asleep in the prison cell. Did you ever notice that as you read down this portion of Scripture? My, read it again and underline the words. It says that Peter was asleep. Look at verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. He was asleep. He wasn't worried. He wasn't worried. He wasn't lying up all night worrying about what was going to happen in this situation. He was asleep. You know why he was asleep? Because his faith was in God. He knew the Lord had everything in control. And you know, child of God, no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter what the world says about us, no matter what the trial is, the Lord has everything in control. And you've got to see that in this passage of Scripture. Oh, their faith was strengthened. Their faith was strengthened, even in the midst of the persecution. Persecution is a part of God's sovereign plan to strengthen the church. You know, this can be seen, and with this illustration I'm finished. This can be seen in the life of the poor widow woman in the days of Elijah the prophet. Turn over with me to 1 Kings chapter 17 for a moment. She saw God's power demonstrated when the Lord provided for her and her son in time of great famine. This was a time of testing for this poor widow woman. But through her trial, she was strengthened and she saw the power of God in a most unique way. Look at verse 11 of 1 Kings 17. It says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called, that's Elijah, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's how severe the trial was, the test. And Elijah said unto her, verse 13, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Underline it. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The Lord undertook. You know, you're going to try and tell me that her faith was not strengthened in the midst of that trial? Oh, maybe she thought at the beginning, why has this trial come my way? Why am I being persecuted? I'm a child of God. I love the Lord. I walk with the Lord. Why is the Lord permitting me and my son to have one last meal before we die? But the Lord was testing her. Testing her faith. Because he wanted to strengthen her faith. And that's exactly what happened. The barrel of meal wasted not. The barrel of oil wasted not. and she had enough to eat. Oh, my friend, listen to me today. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. The cruse of oil failed not, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Praise God today. Whatever test the Lord brings our way, whatever trial he permits, the Lord will be with us. Therefore, I would say to you today, if you're passing through a time of difficulty, look to the Lord. And watch and see how the Lord works it all out. Because he will work it all out. And he worked it all out in Acts chapter 12. And we're going to see in the incoming weeks exactly how he worked it all out. He worked it out for his glory. For his glory. And the church of Christ continued from strength to strength. The devil was defeated again. And of course, old Herod ended up in hell, lost forever. The Lord will deal with the enemies of the gospel. Make no mistake about that. Oh, may God give us grace to walk with him. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee today. And we praise thee for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for your encouragement, the encouragement of thy truth this day. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh God, we have to confess there are many times that trials and troubles come our way and we wonder why. We wonder why. Oh God, I pray that we'll look to thee in time of need. That we'll realize that the Lord is the one who is sovereign in all these things. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would come and revive your church again. Oh God, we know that the devil is attacking hard in these days. Oh God, drive back the forces of hell. We plead the blood against the forces of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Come again into your church. Come again and move by your mighty, mighty power. Reveal thyself to us again. Answer prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for answering prayer. In Acts chapter 12, in these severe circumstances, oh, how the Christians in Acts 12, how they must have been hurting. James was killed. When Peter was taken. Only to realize that there was power in prayer and that God was still on the throne. Oh God, help us to realize as we look around this country of ours, see sin abounding in every hand, that God is still on the throne and that he will remember his own. He'll not forget us. And although Amalek and the Herods of this world might seek to destroy the work of God in the power of hell, we thank thee, Lord, that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So bless your truth today to all of our hearts in Jesus' precious name.